out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game!
Welcome to a game day edition of CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union.
Tonight we got our fans with
us! Hear from the players and coaches as the Blue Jackets get set to hit the ice.
The only thing you can control is when you shower tonight and you look yourself in the mirror, you're going to say that you have to be able to say to yourself, I gave everything I had tonight for my teammates. And if you can't say that, shame on you.
Here's your host, Bob McGallagher.
We are in Rocky's hometown, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and the Blue Jackets looking to deal a knockout punch to the Flyers tonight. Welcome to a game day edition of CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. I'm Bob McElligott. I guess technically it's not a knockout punch because even if the Blue Jackets win this game tonight, they're tied in points with the Flyers. The Flyers hold the tiebreaker, so they wouldn't move out of third place in the Metropolitan Division, but it certainly would be a move to make a future move on that, if you know what I mean. If the Flyers continue to struggle, if the Blue Jackets continue to stay hot, then eventually you will have yourself in a spot where you could move into that third place position, which I remind you once again is a guaranteed playoff spot. Top three spots guarantees you're in. The next two are wild cards, so just get into a guaranteed spot. Find a way, if you can, with 12 games remaining on the schedule. All right, a lot of news for today. Let's start with Seth Jones. Did not practice yesterday. John Tortorella said it was a maintenance day. He will play. Seth was on the plane. He'll be ready to go tonight, and that is priority one, to get him into the lineup. There's no doubt about it. He is the best player not named Bobrovsky on this roster. It's been that way all year. I've talked about that before. I've asked John Tortorella that question point blank in those words. Is he the best player not named Sergei Bobrovsky? And Tort said yes, and then he backed off because he didn't want to single one guy out over other guys. But Seth Jones is playing the best right now. What he is doing right now is invaluable to this team. They need him in this game tonight. They will have him in this game tonight. Also, let's just go over a couple of news items right off the top of the show here. Yesterday, when the Blue Jackets were departing for Philadelphia, it was announced that Dean Kukan signed a 2-year contract extension. Now, this is pretty significant. Why does Dean Kukan, a guy that played up here for a couple of games 2 years ago, didn't see one single NHL game last year, got a chance to play a little bit this year, why was it important for the Blue Jackets organization to get him signed? Well, maybe as a little harbinger of this contract announcement, John Tortorella spoke about Dean Kukan yesterday when he talked to the media.
The past couple of months for that young man in this organization has been, you know, you got to make decisions along the way on these guys, and he has to make a decision on what's going on with his career. And for him to come in and to play the way he did and has and probably will again this year, it's just a good scope for our general manager to see and for the coach to see where he fits, not only this year but in the future. So it's been a really positive thing that's happened the past couple of months as far as what direction do we go with him and what direction does he go with us.
So it did work out well for Dean Kukan. There were reports that he was thinking about going back overseas and playing in Europe after not appearing in a game for the Blue Jackets last year. Well, that situation has taken care of itself. He gets a two-way contract, and it is a one-way NHL contract, and that's very important because that means he gets NHL money. Even if he were to be sent back to the American Hockey League for some reason, he would still get the NHL money that he was promised. That's what happens when you're on a one-way contract. Then there are two-way contracts, which means that you get one salary if you're playing in the NHL. You get a different salary when you're playing in the AHL. So Dean Kukan He is guaranteed. He's got a 2-year one-way contract. Welcome to the fold, Dean. You've done a good job here, and we'll be seeing you for the next couple of years. Another guy that got a 2-year contract earlier today is forward Nathan Gerby. Now, his is different. He has one of the two-way variety. So if he's playing in the American League, he'll make less money than when he's playing up here in the National League. But Nathan Gerby is a guy that was out of the NHL, and he was playing in Europe, and he tried out for Team USA, and he didn't make Team USA. And the Blue Jackets then signed him to a contract and put him in Cleveland. And he has done well enough in their minds in the games he's played there and the couple of games that he played here. He's done well enough to earn himself a 2-year contract. So Nathan Gerby also gets a deal done. So the Blue Jackets striking a few deals, a couple of minor deals. Now, I don't want to downplay that, but these are not Boone Jenner, Ryan Murray, Zach Werenski, Sergei Bobrovsky, Artemi Panarin deals. But they're little things that need to get done. And the earlier you can get the little things that should easily be taken care of off your plate, the better off you are, because the bigger fish are coming. And you've got to take care of the big fish. So get the minnows out of the way. Again, that sounds mean. I don't mean it to sound that way. But get the easy ones off the board. All right? Here are two guys. One of them's getting his first ever one-way contract. The other one was out of the league, gets a chance to come back. Okay, these are going to be easy deals. All right, hey, we'll give you this. All right, you want a little bit? Okay, we can do this, this, this. Boom, done in 5 minutes. Maybe not 5 minutes, but you know what I mean. Easy deals, done, off the table. Now it's on to the next thing. But the next thing is to win games. And Jarmo Kekäläinen and his assistant general manager, Bill Zito, they'll worry about all these other things after the season is over. These were two deals they could get done now, shore up these guys, make them happy, make themselves happy because they've got two players that are taken care of and move on from there. So that is the housekeeping with a couple of signings. I'm thinking there was something else I was going to go over, and I can't think of what that is. So it must not have been that important, and we'll just get on with the business of talking about the Blue Jackets and the Philadelphia Flyers tonight and how big this game is. Now, John Tortorella said something very interesting yesterday. I heard him on 97.1 The Fan doing an interview, and he talked about his one game at a time mantra, which you've got to stay in that mindset. There's no doubt about it. One game at a time, because if you start to look too far ahead, you're going to lose your focus on the present. Look too far into the future, lose the focus on the present. So let's just deal with what's right here today. That's the way he has his team looking at things. That's the mindset that they're in right now, just looking at it one day at a time. And he made the point. He said, look, if I make this a huge must-win game today and the team happens to lose the game today, that means that the next game, which is Saturday, becomes even bigger. So how can you play it up to this is the biggest game of the season when if you lose it, you have more games to play and Saturday's becomes an even bigger biggest game of the season? Which is a good point. But really, it's about him setting the tone, him changing their mindset or getting them to focus and having their minds in the right place going into games. That's his job, okay? His job is to make sure that they're doing the things they're supposed to do, that their concentration is where it's supposed to be, and all of that stuff. Now, from the player's standpoint, you need to go out and execute. And you need to really embrace this, is what John Tortorella is saying. Hey, last year at this time, 12 games left, his team was in cruise control, and that didn't work out so well, okay? They got away from all the things that they had done well all year, and they didn't fare well in the playoffs. He'll be the first one to tell you that he felt that his team deserved a better fate in the playoffs. He felt they played better than just lasting for 5 games. It should have been a 7-game series. But that being said, they lost their focus at this time of the year last year because they didn't have to focus because they were a lock for the playoffs, and the positioning turned out to be something that they really didn't focus on. Maybe they should have focused on it more. Maybe they should have focused on trying to get home ice advantage in the first round, but it doesn't matter. That's neither here nor there. That's in the past. Again, let's look at the present. And for the present, John Tortorella says that the players, they need to make sure that they wrap their minds around this the right way. They are in a tight playoff race. They are going out there every day having to execute to get the success and the points that they are looking for. And when it comes to that mindset, Torch says you got to embrace it, because if you don't embrace what's going on right now, there's a bigger problem.
If you can't enjoy it, then why are you playing? If you're going to put so much pressure on yourself that you're not enjoying it, then why are you playing? We have given ourselves, all we've done now, and I told you guys, we need to get on a run. We get on a little bit of a run here. Now it puts us in the picture to compete for the playoffs. That's all it's done. We're not in, but it gives you a chance. If you can't enjoy the situation you're in, feeling good about your game and enjoy yourself trying to get this done, then it has to be an awful way to live as a hockey player. So, they feel it. They feel the pressure of it. But you need to temper that and try to enjoy it and allow yourself to play.
Bingo. He is dead on. If you can't enjoy it, what are you doing? Why are you playing? This is a game. At the end of the day, this is a game. Yes, you get paid. Yes, there is pressure. Yes, you're trying to be the best that you can be. Yes, you're trying to hold off somebody else that's trying to take your job. All of those things are true. But at the end of the day, this is a game. You are being paid to play a game. If you cannot have fun playing a game, then something's wrong. And this team is having fun right now, so nothing's wrong there. But this team is having fun. This team is enjoying one another. They're enjoying winning. Everybody loves to win. And I've told you all year about this being a feel-good team, about this being a team that if they get one win and then they get two wins and then they get three, and that was the magic number, to get it to an actual winning streak. This is what we talked about last week. They had not won three games in a row since late November when they won six in a row. That's a long time to go without a legitimate winning streak. And they were never able to feel really good about themselves. They got to three. Three turned into four. Now they're rolling. Now they feel good about themselves. And this team excels when it feels good. And they need to continue to feel good here tonight in Philadelphia. One thing they need to do is stay out of the penalty box tonight. Remember the last time they were here? They got lucky on their penalty kills. Eventually, it came back to bite them. Brandon Dubinsky took a penalty late in the game, and the Flyers converted and took the lead and went on to win the game. Stay out of the penalty box is priority number one tonight. This Philadelphia team is going to be hungry. They are sputtering. They are now in a position where the Blue Jackets are catching up to them. The New Jersey Devils are catching up to them. Everybody's catching up to them. In the meantime, they don't want the Penguins and the Capitals to be pulling away from them, but that's what's happening. You've got the top two teams starting to pull away slightly, not by big margins, but slightly. And you have the teams underneath you knocking on the door. New Jersey's only 1 point back now. Blue Jackets are 2 points back. So for Philadelphia, there is an air of concern. Michael Roffel, one of their forwards, today, the morning skate, was quoted as saying, maybe they try to be too cute at home, trying to play too much of a perfect game at home. They have to get a road mentality at home. It's one of the great hockey cliches. What's the difference? Well, the difference is you want to be tic-tac-toe passing. Everything is a highlight that's going to make every late-night sports show because all the goals are pretty. When you go on the road, you don't care how pretty it is. You just care about getting the win. And Michael Roffel says the Flyers are a little bit too concerned about the wrong things right now, and they need to get a road mentality. They need to gut one out. Even if it's ugly, they've got to win it. So if they go by his words, then they will be looking to grind one out tonight. If they go by what they've been doing, then the Blue Jackets could be in business. Very well could be in business. Because I'll tell you something. The Philadelphia crowd is a very unique crowd. They love their teams. They love them with a passion that is undeniable. But it also can turn into a poison. What do I mean? Well, I mean that this is a crowd that you can get to turn on its own team relatively easily. If you play your game the right way, if you put them in a hole, if this crowd senses that they are in trouble. Now, if they're in trouble for one game, that's not a big deal. One period, one game, so what? But they've been in trouble now for a couple of weeks, kind of sputtering along, not playing at the level that they were playing at when they vaulted past everybody and into third place in the division. So they're sputtering. and their fans know that. So if you can exemplify that early in the game, if you can get into the minds of the fans and their players that, uh-oh, here we go again, that works to your advantage in this building. There is no question it works to your advantage. Peter Mrazek is going to start again. A couple of weeks ago, he was traded here from the Detroit Red Wings and made his Flyers debut against the Blue Jackets and got the win. That was a night where I talked to John Tortorella about trying to ruin his Flyers goaltending debut, ruin his Philadelphia career before it ever got started, is how I said it. Because as tough as they are on their teams, they're a million times tougher on their goalies. So get him in a prone position tonight. Expose him early. If there's a way you can expose him early, get him to give up a bad goal. Any goal is a good goal if you're the Blue Jackets, by the way. But just find a way. Get on the board first. Try to drive the conversation through your play. If they can do that, they're going to be in very good shape. Well, one guy that's coming back into this building is a guy who's played here a lot the last couple of years. That's Ian Cole. And he's played here a lot because he's been in this Metropolitan Division. But he was coming in here as a member of the Pittsburgh Penguins, which, like him or hate him, is not my point here about when talking about the Penguins. The rivalry, I know that the Blue Jackets now have somewhat of a rivalry with Pittsburgh, but it is not even close to the rivalry between the Penguins and the Flyers. That is a rivalry that is, I'll put it to you this way. When the Penguins come here, it is very volatile. The crowd and some of the chants that they have and some of the things they say is not even PG-13. It's rated R. And it's directed at certain players on the Pittsburgh roster. And it's loud, and they don't care, and it is truly a rivalry. Now, that being said, the Penguins have pretty much owned the Flyers in this building. So even if with all of that, it has not quite worked in their favor, which goes back to my other point. You know, you can have a crowd getting involved, but if you control the way they're going to be involved, you can feed off their energy, even though it's a road crowd. You can feed off their negative energy toward their own team and turn it into a positive for you. So Ian Cole comes in here, and this is going to be a different vibe. Now, the magnitude of the game isn't going to be any less, but the vibe will be a little bit different. I had a chance to talk with Ian about that. Ian, you got a couple of goals now since joining this team. I know defense is first and foremost for you, but it feels good to chip in scoring-wise, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you want to contribute and try to help lead to wins. For me, that's usually more on the defensive side of things, but, you take shots. Sometimes they go in, which is great. So, I'm not going to try to press to get any more. If they happen, they happen, but certainly... defense is certainly my first thought.
You have the knuckle puck down to a science since you joined this team.
Yeah, exactly. Mighty Ducks are going to be calling me up pretty soon.
How big was that win for you on Monday against Montreal? You know, your goal kind of really let you guys breathe. They were all over you in the third period. You extend the winning streak, you get the day off, and you have a chance really to kind of put things into perspective as a team, don't you?
Yeah, well, they've had a tough year. They're missing some of their weapons, but they still have some dangerous players in that team with Drouin and Galchenyuk and some young guys coming up. And they're playing free and pretty loose. And, they're trying things that most teams might not, would try. And probably a little bit more dangerous in that sense. So they're a unique challenge. So it'll be it was definitely a good win. Philly's obviously going to be another very unique challenge with the weapons that they have. So, something that, hopefully took a day off and got rested up and got ready for it.
You've been a champion a couple times in a row here, so you know how important it is to close out victories. As you guys are winning these games, the one thing it seems like you're still trying to figure out as a group is how to get through that third period with a two-goal lead. You did it the other night, two games previous. One was close, one they caught up, and you had a win in overtime. How tough is it to get over that hump?
Well, I mean, it's something that, we're certainly talking about and aware of and trying to work on for sure. I think we've gotten better, been getting better at it, are still trying to get better at it. But, I mean, it's just a matter of continuing to play the same game, play the same way that got you, to that position in the game, being ahead, and almost, maybe even playing smarter. trying to decide, hey, is this play that I'm seeing worth even trying? It's kind of weighing those options and then making the intelligent decision out there in a matter of a split second. So it's certainly something that we want to get better at, and hopefully something we will going forward.
Coming into Philly, this is a big game on the schedule. You have a chance to tie the Flyers in points, but it might be one of the more laid-back Philadelphia games you've been involved in, because when you were with Pittsburgh, when those two teams get together, especially in Philadelphia, it's a whole different level, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, Philly is they're a unique team with some unique weapons there for sure. And their fans are pretty rambunctious, I guess is a word that I could say here. It's certainly a great atmosphere to play in, and we're going to try to feed off that energy, even though it is an away building. Getting excited for just an energetic crowd and a crowd that, is definitely going to be loud. So finding that energy, getting going, and being aware of their weapons, I think, is huge.
And you know they'll turn on their own, and this is a team that has been stumbling here the last couple of games. So how important will it be to try to establish yourselves early, maybe get that crowd to turn a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think if we play well and play how we have been the past couple of weeks here, it's certainly something where we can pressure them into making some mistakes, and then who knows how the game's going to progress from there. But as a team, a lot of it depends on how we play and how we approach the game, and so far and recently it's been going very well. So certainly going to try to continue that.
Thanks, Ian.
Yeah, my pleasure.
How about that guy? He is a beauty. Ian Cole, Blue Jackets defenseman. It is no wonder so many things have changed since he's come here, to be honest with you, just because of the way he plays, what he has brought out of David Savard, what he's brought out of the other defensemen, and that you just heard, that attitude, that fun. John Tortorella was just talking about fun. Ian Cole is having fun. You heard what he said when I asked him about mastering the knuckle puck. And in both of the goals that he has gotten, the one against Marc-Andre Fleury and then the other one, against Montreal the other night, they were both pucks that he didn't strike quite the way that he wanted to. So it was a fluttering puck. The way that the puck started to go toward the net didn't have, it was just no rotation on it. It was just kind of floating there. And then it does like a knuckleball in baseball. It kind of dips. It makes it very tough for a goalie to be able to read it and make a save. So the old knuckle puck has worked well for Ian Cole twice. And just his answer to that question when he said, yeah, the Mighty Ducks will be calling me up, looking to call me up. Again, just a throwback to the old original Mighty Ducks movie and the cast of characters that they had there. Just to make that reference and to have fun, he gets it. He just totally gets it. He gets the game. He gets the camaraderie. He gets the magnitude of the moment, but he's not going to let it overwhelm him. And again, I've talked about this with I've talked about it a lot with Jody Shelley. We just talked about it on the Inside Edge last night. That attitude was not here. There were guys that were too concerned about what was going on. Some of them were so concerned about their own personal struggles that it led into, just taking away from the entire team. I'm not faulting them because of that. That's human nature. I get it. I understand. But you get Ian Cole, you get Thomas Vanek, and you get Mark Letestu, and they all come in and they go, whoa, 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 everything is fine. Just relax. We've been here before. You've been here before. I think that's true. I think for guys like, Brandon Dubinsky, Nick Foligno, I think it didn't hurt for those guys to get a reminder. Oh, hey, you've been here before. You know how this works. Yeah, you're right. I do. My season hasn't gone the way I wanted it to, and I've gotten a little bit off track. You're right. Just that reassurance, whether it's through words or through play or through other words, not saying that directly, just the fun factor. You remember how it is. And for the young guys, hey, look, last year, this isn't what last year was. John Tortorella has said that time and time and time again. This is an NHL season. You don't go through and rack up 109 points and get 32 of them in one chunk like the Blue Jackets did last year. That doesn't happen every day. It doesn't happen every year. It doesn't ever happen. Happened once. It's not going to happen consistently. So this is the way it's going to be. This is what you have to be prepared to do every year. Grind it out. Find a way. So the lessons are very good for this team. The lessons they're learning right now are very good. They're going to be even better if they can secure a playoff spot. If they don't, it's going to have to be lessons that they sit and they think about all summer and think about falling short of the goal. So even though that will be educational in itself, that would be educational in itself, that's not the lesson they want to learn. They want to learn the lesson of fighting hard at the end, find a way to get in. Now everybody's back to zeros. Now let's go to work. That's the lesson that they are trying to excel at here in the next couple of weeks. So what happened last night? The Blue Jackets got zero help from the Vegas Golden Knights. They lost at home. They're just coming back from an East Coast trip, and they were hammered by the New Jersey Devils. Now, here are the Devils. You look at their schedule the rest of the way, it is daunting. West Coast trip, tough teams to play against. So far, they have won in Nashville with their backup goaltender, and they've won in Vegas. Those are two games that I had hoped that they would lose. They didn't. They won them both. So they have put themselves in a pretty good spot. By the way, the final score was 8-3. Four third-period goals for the Devils against the Golden Knights last night. Elsewhere in the Metropolitan Division, Pittsburgh had a 3-0 lead. They let it all go as the New York Rangers came back. And actually, that's not true. They had a 2-0 lead. Then they had a 3-1 lead. Anyway, the Rangers still rallied in the third period. They got three goals in the third, forced to overtime, and beat the Penguins in overtime. 4-3 was the final score in that game. The other games last night, the Dallas Stars lost in a shootout in Toronto 6-5 to the Maple Leafs. It was the San Jose Sharks winning in Edmonton in overtime 4-3 over the Oilers. And the Vancouver Canucks got nothing in Anaheim as they were shut out by the Ducks 3-0. I lost my whole train of thought there for just a second. For just a second, my whole train of thought derailed. So what do the standings look like today? Well, let me tell you. Metropolitan Division, Washington and Pittsburgh both have 85 points. Washington holds the tiebreaker, so they're still in first place. Philadelphia is in third, 4 points back. They've got a total of 81. With the New Jersey win last night, they move into the first wild card spot again as they continue to play leapfrog with the Blue Jackets. 80 points for the Devils, 79 for the Blue Jackets. The only other team in contention in the Eastern Conference is the Florida Panthers, who have 75 points. Everybody else, put a fork in them, they're done. Over in the Atlantic Division, Tampa Bay has 100 points. Boston has 96. Toronto has 89. Toughest spot to me is Toronto. They're not going anywhere. They're not catching anybody. They know their first-round opponent is either going to be Tampa or Boston. That's it. And they've got to play out this string, and they have played 70 games, so they still have 12 games left, and they have nothing to play for. They know where they're going to be seated. They've just got to get through the 12 games and try not to get hurt. Over in the Western Conference, Nashville has 100 points atop the Central, followed by Winnipeg with 92. Minnesota has 85. So Nashville and Winnipeg, they're set. One way or another, they're set. Nobody's catching either one of them. 1-2 is going to go that way in that division, more than likely. In the Pacific, Vegas, 95 points, 10-point lead on San Jose. The LA Kings are in third place. They've got 82 points. And then the scramble begins. Two wild card spots. Dallas in the first one. They've got 83 points. Colorado's in the second one. They've got 82 points. Same number of points that the Anaheim Ducks have, but Colorado's played 69 games. Anaheim has played 71 games. That's why Colorado is in that spot right now. And then you've got Calgary. They've got 80 points. They're only 2 points back. And St. Louis has 79 points, only 3 points back. So there are more teams in the mix in the West trying to get into the playoffs. And, nothing is settled there either. Nothing is settled anywhere, quite frankly. Other games that are going to be played tonight. It's going to be the Capitals in Brooklyn to take on the Islanders tonight. Penguins are playing a back-to-back. They're in Montreal to take on the Canadiens. The big game of the night, besides Blue Jackets Flyers, is going to be the Boston Bruins playing in Florida against the Panthers. Blue Jackets could really use some help here from the Boston Bruins. First of four games between these two teams before the end of the year. Boston did have some players injured in their last game, some big ones too. Chara, Krug. So they called up some players from the American Hockey League. I don't know if that's to play in place of those players or if they are there as insurance policies. We'll find out tonight. But it sure would be nice if the Boston Bruins could go into South Florida and come out with a win in that game tonight. That would be absolutely huge for the Blue Jackets, regardless of what the outcome of the game here is, quite frankly. Toronto is playing in Buffalo tonight. That used to be a great rivalry, but now you've got one team going to the playoffs and one team still can't figure out where it's going overall. You've got the Colorado Avalanche playing in St. Louis. I just told you that there's a tight playoff race there. 3 points separate the Avalanche and the Blues. That's a big, big game for St. Louis tonight at home, trying to get those points. Winnipeg is at home to take on Chicago. Nashville is in Arizona, and the Detroit Red Wings play in Los Angeles against the Kings tonight. So that's what's going on around the NHL. And what's going on in my mind? Well, a lot of things. So many things that I can barely straighten them out, quite frankly. But there's a question in my mind. It's a question that I must ask you. And that question is, you know what it is. You know I'm going to ask you when the last time you wrote a paper check to pay for something was. You know it. You're here every day. You know that you should forget about a checking account, too, because Telhio Credit Union has a new account that is built for your digital financial lifestyle. With a Telhio My Life account, you have access to a chip-enabled fuel tank with digital DNA for your busy life. Open one today at telhio.org. Telhio is open to all in Central and Southwest Ohio, and they are federally insured by NCUA. And there we go. Now, the Philadelphia Flyers. Who do you have to watch out for? Their captain, Claude Giroux. He is guaranteed to have a point per game this season, no matter what. He has 82 points on the year, 25 goals, 57 assists. Jake Voracek, 16 goals, 59 assists for a total of 75 points. Those two, always dangerous, every time they're on the ice. Sean Couturier, 64 points, 29 of those coming by goals. And you've got the young Nolan Patrick, second overall pick last summer. He's got 23 points now. He's double digits in goals with 10. And he's a guy that's kind of coming on as the year has gone on. He's made the adjustments. Young guy taking his time to get his feet underneath him here in the NHL. And he's starting to do that. We saw that a couple of weeks ago when the Blue Jackets were here. Johnny Oduya has joined this team since last they played the Blue Jackets. They got him on a waiver claim right at the trade deadline. Didn't do much at the trade deadline, the Flyers. They kind of left their group intact. Their trade, their big trade, was to get the goalie Peter Mrazek, and that was before the trade deadline, but they had to do that because both their top two goalies got hurt, so they had to get somebody. On the blue line, Shane Gostisbehere, always dangerous, 51 points for him. He's got 41 assists, and Ivan Provorov has got 32 points, 12 goals, and 20 assists. So they're dangerous. They're all around dangerous. Mrazek is the guy you got to get to. That is the weak link. And I'm telling you, when he came in here, he was playing very well. Detroit was just in a couple of weeks ago, and he came from Detroit. And I was talking to one of their people, and they said, Mrazek's starting to play like himself now in Philly. So they were not big fans of him in Detroit. And if that is indeed the case, if he is reverting back to that form that got him disliked, if you will, in that organization, that's good news for the Blue Jackets. But again, you've got to exploit. You can't just go out there and want it to happen. You have to will it to happen through your play. That's the guy they've got to get to tonight. Stay out of the penalty box. Get to that goaltender. Continue to put up goals, which the Blue Jackets have done well in this five-game winning streak that they're on right now. They're getting about four goals a game. So, you know, earlier they were winning games 2-1. Now 4-2, 5-2, 3-2, whatever. But get some goals. This guy is vulnerable. You've got to exploit him. Absolutely, positively have to exploit him in this game tonight if you want to have success. If you want to get what you came here for, and that's 2 points, you've got to do it by putting the pressure on him early and often, expose him, score on him, get the crowd to turn on them. You do all those things, you're coming out of here feeling great tonight. 7 o'clock start. Here in Philadelphia, Blue Jackets and the Flyers. 6:45 pregame coverage starts on the Blue Jackets Radio Network. And tonight in Columbus, you'll be able to hear the game on CD 102.5. That's where you can find me on the radio in Columbus, all across the state on the radio network, and also at BlueJackets.com and on the CBJ app. This one's big, but again, don't forget, one game at a time. It's a big game, this one at a time. 2 points are at stake. And the Blue Jackets, by the end of the night, could be tied in points with the third place Philadelphia Flyers. It won't be long before we find out if it happens or not. Until then, I'm Bob McElligott saying so long.